You're already standing to your feet, so let's make it do what it do, and let's jump right into the Word. Is anybody ready for the Word this morning? Thank you, you six people that are ready for the Word. Are the rest of you ready for the Word as well? If you're ready for the Word, shout, I'm ready for the Word. Say, give me the Word. Just as it is. No filter. Just give me the Word. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you just like it is. Thank you, Stephen. Hope you got your Bibles with you this morning. If not, use your phones or use the screens as the scriptures pop up there. And I believe that I didn't plan on this. Well, maybe I did, but it seems as though the song sex selections of the day have really fit into what I want to teach and minister on today. So I want you to open up your spirits and your hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord has to say today. Amen? Amen. So Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, New King James, of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're going to talk about war today. War today. War. Before you're seated in this wonderful church, I need you to touch five people and tell them, he's training my hands to war. Ooh-wee. Five people. He's training my hands to war. He's training my hands to war. I'm trying to wake about 75 people up in this place that have been asleep at the wheel. He's training my hands to war. From the subject matter, teach my hands to war. Psalm 18:34 says, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. NASB states, he trains my hands for battle. Yeah, he trains them so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He trains my hands for battle. Many of you come from a battleground area where you fought a lot. Don't get quiet on me here in this Holy Ghost filled church. Many of you in your old days, you used to fight a lot. Got into a lot of scraps, as they would say back in the day. And so your hands were always ready to fight. But this is a day and a season and a time that you need to be ready to war in the spirit at all times. You cannot afford to fall asleep on what God is doing in this day and age, because the devil is not sleeping. He is craftily going around, picking with people, messing with people. And so you need to be awake and up, knowing what Satan is up to. We're not giving Satan any glory whatsoever, but he's still up to the same old tricks. He's still up to the same old mess. He's still lying. He's still deceiving. He's still cunning. He's still trying to break marriages up. He's still messing with folk money. He's still up to the same nonsense. What? Different day, same game. We must be two things. Get ready to take notes or take pictures, whatever is easier. Number one, we must be battle ready. You need to be battle ready. What does that mean? That means trained and conditioned. Battle ready. You can't get tired. You can't get tired. Oh, I'm trying to shake somebody up today. You can't get tired. You can't get tired. You can't get, you can't, you got to be trained and conditioned. This is a time right now, off season. I'm a football fan. A lot of off season going on right now.
So what's happening right now is behind the scenes, players are getting trained and they're conditioning. They're doing a lot of running and working out and they're lifting weights. And Bill, he's the head coach at Hickory, and they're doing a whole lot of stuff. This is not game time. This is training and conditioning time. Now is that time. It's hot. It's humid outside. The kids don't really want to do a lot of the things that they have to do, but they realize that they got to take their body to a place so that when game time comes, they're ready to press through, and they are presented with situations that maybe they have not been presented before. But what happens is that when you are trained and you are conditioned, you can... When you're trained and you're conditioned, you can withstand the wiles of the enemy. When Ephesians 6 talks about this wiles of the enemy, what does that mean? That means the devious and cunning strategy of the devil. He's got a cunning strategy and is devious, and he don't fight fair. And he is looking to destroy every and anything around you. He's destroy it, not play with it, not pet it. He's looking to destroy it. He wants to destroy that good marriage you got. Destroy it. Folk married 20, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, get a divorce. What happens? Well, Satan comes in and begins to separate, begins to spread lies and deception and cunning character of what he is. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to destroy your, he wants you worried about your daily affairs. How you going to pay for this? How you going to pay for that? Listen, all of your trust and your cares need to be in Jesus Christ. And you got to get to a point in time right now where you're not afraid to have a conversation with the devil.
Okay, I need.
You got to have, you cannot be afraid to have a conversation. Say, listen, devil, no, not here. Not today, Satan. Come on now. Y'all done heard that saying. Not today. No, today is not going to be the day that you're going to mess with me. Today is not going to be the day you're going to tear up my family. Today is not the day you're going to take my kids. You're not going to have my kids, not my kids that I prayed over. How you going to take my kids, the kids that I done pleaded the blood of Jesus over? I done warfared over. I done cried. I don't know how many tears over my kids. And now you got my kids out here selling drugs, smoking dope. Oh, the devil is a liar. I speak the blood of Jesus over my children right now. You got to do that. You have to do that. You got to get some courage. And you got to stand up and you got to look the devil right in the eye and say, no, not today. No, not today. It ain't going to happen. Not on my watch. Oh, you better look at somebody and say, not on my watch. Now, not on my watch. See, in your old school day, before you got saved, he was doing a lot of old undercrafted, some stuff that you really wasn't aware of. But when you get saved, Romans 12 and 2 says you get transformed in your mind. It means the scales begin to fall off. It means that you can see stuff before it happened. Oh, my Lord. See, you can see that joker. Come on, single. You can see this dude ain't up to you can tell he ain't up to no good. You didn't know before. You didn't know. You wasn't saved. You didn't have Jesus. You was just looking for fine and sexy. That's it. Oh, he's fine, he's sexy. I probably got some pretty kids by him. That's all you was worried about there. But see, now that you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, now you have a prerequisite list that you have to have. Because you're not worried about how fine he is. You say, how many scriptures do you know, man of God? Will you pray for me if I get sick? Will you be able to warfare over our kids? Can you speak in tongues?
Y'all want me to get back to the word. I told you I was going to give it to you. No filter.
Trained and conditioned. And then you got to be battle steady. Wounded and weary, but warlike. Ooh, that's good. Wounded. Oh, man, I'm going to run across this stage. I'm getting happy in my own spirit. What? Because wounded and weary, but warlike. Battle ready, trained, and conditioned. Battle steady, wounded, and I'm trying to tell you, it's okay to be wounded. I'm trying to tell you, it's okay to be weary, but you got to be warlike. Many of you are wounded right now. Many of you are jacked up. Many of you are like, Pastor, don't let the smile fool you. I'm going through some hell right now. It's a lot of stuff going on in my life. I ain't even telling nobody. See, some of you, God has been so, God has been so elegant to you, he has taught you not to wear your worries. And so many of you can come in the presence of people, and it don't even have to be in church. You can see people, and you can greet them, and you can love on them, and you can hug them, and you'll be going through all kinds of hell in your life. Many of you all can pray for people that you need exactly what they need. You ever had somebody ask you to pray for them? You're like, Lord, I need that prayer. I need that. Can we flip this thing around? No, because God will do those things intentionally sometimes in our life. Wounded and weary, but warlike. Oh, you got, let me give you this warlike, what this means. Aggressive, and then I'm going to teach you two new words. Watch this. Pugnacious. Eager or quick to fight. Some of y'all can identify with that. Some of y'all is pugnacious. Eager, you will fight at the drop of a hat. I know I'm talking to five of y'all, right? You will fight at the drop of a hat. Some of y'all are pugnacious in the spirit. Some of y'all don't play. My wife is like that. My wife is pugnacious in the spirit. My wife would just sense stuff and just start warfaring. She can just sense stuff. She's like, oh, something off. She can just sense stuff. She's just pugnacious. And then some of you are inimical. What does that mean? You're eager to inflict harm. Ooh, wait a minute. That means that you're not going to just fight. You're going to finish the fight. Some of y'all back in the day, they had to grab you off of so-and-so. Because you were so wild. You were so uncontained that you literally wanted to kill them. But what happens when we get saved and now we don't want to fight no more? Now we tired. We had to drag you out the room off the old girl. But now you tired. Now you weary. Now you weak. No. You've got to be warlike. Somebody say, I'm pugnacious. Somebody say, I'm inimical. You'll be practicing those words all week this week. You'll walk into work and say, listen, don't y'all mess with me. Y'all know I'm inimical up in this piece now. Y'all know. I'm talking pugnacious and inimical when it comes to the spiritual things. I'm not telling you to go to work to fight nobody tomorrow. No, the devil is a liar. What I'm telling you is that if there's something off at your job, you need to know that. Y'all going to love this message today. You need to know that there's something off. You got to be able to sense in the spirit that something is out of order in here. Two battles. You got a private battle and you got a public battle. Your private battle is what you know about you. There's some stuff that you know about you that don't nobody else know about you. There's some stuff that you got to fight against that don't nobody even know that you're fighting against. The war oftentimes is with you. It's not with anybody else. And so that's the private battle that you got going on. Many of you got private battles going on right now. It ain't about your finances. It ain't about the house. It ain't about the job. It's just about a lot of stuff going on the inside of you that you're warfaring against. It's just stuff that you're trying to figure it out. Like, why am I? Cause you woken up before and you said, man, why do I just feel like icky? Like, what's going on? Why is everybody getting on my nerves today? What is it? Why is it that I'm so short-tempered today? What's going on? Well, you got a private battle going on. That's that private battle. That's those secret things that you know about you. And then we got this public battle. Is what they say about you. So oftentimes you got to fight against words that are being put in the atmosphere about you. Oh my Lord. You say, well, Pastor, that don't matter. Well, actually it does. I know what they say about you may not be true. But what I want you to do is, even though they're saying something about you that's not true, I want you to war in the spirit against those words so that those words don't take life, because those words will take life against you, and you shouldn't be talking about nobody saying anything about anybody that you would not say if they were not in your presence. Oh, it's awfully quiet in this place right now. You shouldn't be doing that. That's unhealthy. That's not godly. That's not Jesus-like, what they say about you. Ecclesiastes, let me keep it moving. See, everything, Ecclesiastes 3, some of you familiar with this, to everything there is a season. Somebody say season. Somebody say seasons change. A time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what's planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Okay, let me stop, pause right there real quick. Because some of you all are in a time of mourning and it's okay. Because Ecclesiastes says there's a time for that. But can I speak this audibly over everybody in the building? You will go from your time of mourning to a time of dancing. Because you will break out of the mourning and you will break into a new morning. Your mourning is not forever. Your mourning is temporary. It's a time for that. And the thing about it, let me tell everybody, listen, let people mourn in of a mourning that they're in. You can't try to shake somebody out of a mourning period. Oftentimes, people need that temporary mourning just to heal. We oftentimes expect people to be over something much quicker than what actually God is actually doing in their life. Who are you to tell so-and-so that she should be over her husband who died 5 years ago? How you gonna tell her she should be over him? It wasn't you who lost the husband. She's still grieving. Allow her to mourn properly. Because if she mourns properly, what'll happen is that God will then renew her. He'll renew her spirit. If it's a man who loses a wife, he'll renew him. He'll renew his spirit. And then Ecclesiastes say is that mourning will turn to dancing. Wait a minute. See, I saw some people dancing earlier during those old school songs, and I guarantee you that they didn't always dance. What happened is they went through a mourning period, and now they're in a time of dancing. Ooh, my Lord, right now. If you've ever mourned before, give God glory right now. If you've ever mourned. Now, anybody that's at the dancing stage, give God glory right now. Anybody that's dancing. I don't know about you, but I've been in mourning periods in my life, and now it's time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. That's deep. A time of war and a time of peace. I wish I could tell you I'm at a time of peace right now. I wish I could stand up here and tell you, man, everything is groovy gravy. Life ain't never been better. Everything is what it needed to be, what I needed to be, what I always dreamed of being. The bottom line is that I'm at war. There's some stuff happening in my life. Yeah, my life, that I'm at war against this thing, man. And I didn't expect to be at war in 2019. I thought I was going into a peace year. I thought this year was going to be a lot different than what it has been. But I don't get to choose the seasons. Come on, somebody. Oh, my Lord. I'm just trying to help a few of you all out that you can identify with me. Maybe a few of you are at, matter of fact, what season are you in? What season are you in? You. What season are you in? Are you in a time of war? Are you in a time of peace? Many of you think that you're in a time of peace, but you're not. It's actually a time of war. You are improperly interpreting the season. You have got to be able to interpret the season so you know how to fight. Many of you, your boxing gloves are put away when your boxing gloves need to be on every day. You don't have a day in God where you don't fight. Boy, we got to get in shape as a church. We got to get in shape, y'all. We got to get in shape. We got to understand that you don't get a day off. You don't get a day off in the kingdom. There is always something to fight about. There is always something happening in the spirit. There is always something. There is always an attack happening in your life. Help me, Holy Spirit. What season are you in? Think about that for a minute. What season are you in? What's happening around you in your personal life? Some of y'all are being attacked in your body. That's not a time of peace. Some of you being attacked financially. Some of you being attacked emotionally, mentally. Some of you are on the greatest decision-making place that you've ever been in your life. That's not a time of peace. You're in a time of war. You're trying to make the right decision at the right time, in the right moment. You say, I gotta make a big decision, because this decision is gonna shape the next 3 to 5 years of my life. Let me take you to Daniel. Let me take you to Daniel here. Daniel 2. Are y'all getting something this morning? Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, say Nebuchadnezzar, his reign, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, plural, dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command, watch this, everybody, to the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king the interpretation of the dream. So King Nebuchadnezzar, a man in power, has four big to-dos on staff. He's got astrologers, magicians, sorcerers, and Chaldeans. He has this dream that messes him up. It troubles him like crazy, shakes him up, more than likely cannot sleep. He's having a dream sort of kind of like Saul was having those spiritual intrusions mess with him. Some of you all remember that when Saul was being so disturbed demonically in the spirit, he had to call upon this young cat who could play real well. We know that young cat as being David, and the spirits would then exodus upon the plane of the instrumentation. But Nebuchadnezzar, he has these dreams, everybody, and he's trying to figure out. He said, man, I'm having these dreams, and I'm calling on these people that I've hired and that I pay. And he says, listen, I'm having dreams, and I'm messed up. I need you all to interpret what God is saying. I need you to interpret these dreams. The sorcerers, the magicians, the astrology, the Chaldeans, they say, oh, no problem. We can interpret a dream. Just tell us. He says, no. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling you anything. I've hired you. You're a part of my crew because you should be able to tap in and know exactly what I'm dreaming and what I'm thinking. But see, what I figure out early on is that Nebuchadnezzar got the wrong people employed. Because astrologers, let me bust this thing up, sorcerers and magicians, those who looking at Ouija boards and crystal balls, they can't tap into what God is saying. There is an underworld that exists that they can tap into the underworld, but they can't tap into what God is saying. Baby girl, you wasting your time going to old girl looking at that crystal ball. She can't tell you what God has in store for your life. Y'all awfully quiet in this place. Somebody going to see the Ouija girl? Because we're so desperate. We're so desperate in this day and age. We want to know, what's God saying? What's God saying? What's God saying? I need to know what God is saying. I need to know what God is saying. I'm in trouble. I got a whole bunch of stuff in my life, so I need to know what God is saying. I need to know what God is saying. So you want to go and pay somebody to tell you what God is saying. When the fact of the matter is that you can find out what God is saying by simply grabbing your Bible. Yeah. God is not going to tell that woman that's looking at that crystal ball anything that he wouldn't tell you. God wants to tell you more than he wants to tell anybody else, because it's about intimacy with God. He said, listen, man, I need y'all to interpret. I need y'all to tell me what about these dreams now. I need y'all to tell me what's going on. They said, listen, okay, just tell us. He said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, he got mad now. He said, wait a minute now. I'm telling y'all right now, I need you all, I'm loosely translating this, but it's exactly in the Bible. He says, I need you all to tell me exactly what has been disturbing me in my dreams. They said, okay, tell us, get us started. He said, oh, no, okay. He said, okay, okay, enough is enough. He says, listen, if you can tell me what's in my dreams, if you can tell me I got gifts for you, I got rewards for you, I'm going to hook you up, buy you whatever car you want, build whatever house you want me to build. But I need you to tell me what these dreams mean. The fellas looked at him. They said, listen, the Chaldeans, he spoke on their behalf. He said, listen, can't nobody interpret these dreams except the gods. And they don't dwell among us. Boy, that's deep. Let that thing sit in right quick. Let that thing sit in. Can't nobody tell you what God is doing in your life and what God is about to do in your future? I can speak prophetically for what God may be saying for your life, but you best believe God wants to have a more intimate relationship with you than he does some prophet that'll come in town. Because what happens is that when people find out the prophet coming in town, folk line up. Why? Because everybody wants a word. Well, why do you want a word when you can just go to God and find out what God is saying to you? The fact of the matter is that a lot of people don't want to work for the word. Oh, my Lord. Oh, that was good right there. Don't nobody want to work for the word. So you figure if you could just stand to some prophet and he just tell you, you know, you're going to get $10,000 next year. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, glory. So look, yeah, but the prophet only knows and sees in part. The prophet don't even see all the hell on the inside. I've gotten a whole lot of prophetic words that are magnificent, many of which brought me to this day. But what the prophetic word didn't say was everything that I was going to have to go through in order to accomplish and see that word fulfilled. Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall accomplish that which I please it to do. Yes, that is the word of the Lord. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall not return unto me void, God says. Meaning the word that I send will accomplish what I sent it to do. It won't return unaccomplished. But the fact of the matter is that there's some tasks that you're going to have to complete before that word. You better lean on somebody and say, you got to work that word. You got to work that word. A lot of times people say, oh, give me a prophetic word. Do you really want that prophetic word? Do you really want that? Because there's some stuff that you're going to have to do to work that to have that word come to pass. He said, can't nobody interpret those dreams except, no, can't nobody interpret that? He said, one of the Chaldeans, he said, the only people that can interpret that word, he said, is people that they don't live among, they don't live among flesh. Watch this. They don't live among flesh. They don't live among flesh. They may be flesh, but they don't live among flesh. Flesh lives among flesh. Spirit lives among spirit. Flesh gets caught up in fleshly stuff. Spirit rises higher than flesh. People that are full of the spirit don't get caught up in all them fleshly carnal stuff. Meaning that you can talk about them all you want to, but they rise higher. They don't get caught up in that. Okay, so King Nebuchadnezzar, he's furious now. He said, listen, if y'all don't interpret this dream, I'm killing everybody. You think that'll get your attention? He said, I'm killing every wise man in the territory. If y'all don't interpret this dream, not only that, I'm tearing everybody's houses down. Your houses are going to be ash heaps. That's the word of the Lord, come King Nebuchadnezzar. Sounds like war to me is about to be declared. Now, Daniel happens to be one of the wise men on the scene. And the Bible says that one of Nebuchadnezzar's, one of his soldiers, happens to be the captain, this guy named Arioch. Nebuchadnezzar gives Arioch the command. He says, listen, go out and kill everybody. Kill all the wise men. Kill all the wise men on account of these. Because they can't interpret what my dreams were, kill everybody who's wise and considered wise. meaning those who are prophetic, those who hear, those who are astrologers, soothsayers, those who are magicians, kill all of them on account of these. So the Bible says that Arioch goes out, and the Bible says he is in the midst of killing wise men. And he comes upon Daniel. Daniel's next. They get word that Daniel and his boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're about to be killed. Y'all still with me? So watch this. So Arioch comes up on Daniel. Daniel, which is my next note, Daniel's got the spirit of cool on him. Daniel got the spirit of cool on him. That Arioch shows up. He probably had blood on his hands because they've been killing wise men on account of what Nebuchadnezzar said. Daniel said, whoa, what's going on? As in, why you killing? Why you? I heard y'all trying to, I heard y'all killing all the wise men. What's going on? What's going on? See, he has a spirit of cool. You got to have a spirit of cool in chaos.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Ooh. You got to be cool. Lean on somebody and say, be cool, be cool. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when you get that bad news, be cool. God's going to work it out. Be cool. Do you think that God's not, do you think that God does not have a plan? For those folk who work for GM and other companies around the country, matter of fact, I just heard just a couple that, the Vindicator, that August 31st is the last production, whatever like that. But do you think that God has forgotten this about his people and does not have a plan? Don't you know that God, just trying to help a few of you all, that God's got a plan. What happens, Pastor? Well, Arioch, he goes to see Daniel. Daniel says, hold up. He said, what's all the hubbub? What's all of this chaotic activity that is happening? Arioch then lays it out and tells Daniel what's going on. So Daniel says, okay. Let me get in touch with my crew. Let me get in touch with my guys. Write this down, and then I'm going to keep going. Don't allow people to improperly interpret your season. Because if you reach out too much, you'll get bad advice. Don't allow people to improperly interpret your season. Some of you are in a season of war. Matter of fact, raise your hand. You're in a season of war. Some of you are in a season of peace. You just came out of a war. It happens. You just came out of a war. You just came out of a hella situation. But watch this. In verse 12, when the Bible says in Daniel 2, it says, for this reason the king was angry and very furious. I gave you this. And he gives the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Here's a big note for you. Interpret this season or die in it. Interpret this season or die in it. I don't mean physically die, but what can happen is that you can spiritually die in a season that you fail to interpret. Anytime you go through a season without interpretation, something on the inside of you eventually deteriorates and dies. You must interpret. Hear me, church family. Don't fall asleep at the wheel now. You must interpret the season and what God is doing in that season. Ecclesiastes is one of the most important important, poignant scriptures in the entire Bible because it speaks to how life is broken up in seasons, meaning the season of hell that you are in will eventually pass. I don't know who needs to hear that. I don't know who is that for. I don't know who needs to receive that. But if that's for you, receive that thing right now. It will eventually pass, and you will grasp season. What do you mean, Pastor? You got to find out what God is doing in that season. God's not trying to bring any harm to you in this season, but he is trying to wake you up.
I'm giving you a chance to let that just marinate. The season will need to be interpreted.
Watch this. Before God advances you to the next season. You'll need to interpret. What do you mean, Pat? You will need to. What do you mean? Oh, okay, I'm pushing you. I'm really pushing you now. Hear me, church. Everybody in the building, hear me. Hear me how I'm pushing you. I'm pushing you like this. What do I mean? I mean, you have to interpret the season. What does that mean? You will have to have divine revelation on what God is doing. Divine revelation. That means tapping in to another spiritual realm in the heavenlies. That means coming out of your attitude and your fleshly pursuit. All of this, and God is trying to do this, and God is trying to punish me, and if I wouldn't have did this, God wouldn't be doing this in my life and all this. A lot of that's just a lot of carnal talk that we get into. We get into a whole lot of carnal talk. What I'm saying is that you're going to have to press into a place in God that is full of divine revelation. What the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers lacked was divine revelation. Divine revelation can only be given by God. I'm talking about that God idea, that thing that only comes from heaven above.
Wow.
The reality is that you got to be able to interpret both voices.
Hear me. Hear me when I say this. I'm going to take my time just a second.
You got to be able to interpret both voices. Meaning, when you wasn't saved, you knew the voice of the enemy. You knew what he was saying. You knew how the enemy would use people. You knew how the enemy would bring stuff into your mind, into your head, that would be straight foolishness and craziness. You don't get so saved that all of a sudden you don't understand what the enemy is trying to do in your life. That's that old saying about don't be so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. Christians should be the most intelligent species on the planet because you know the voice of God, but you also know that raggedy voice of the enemy. You know it when you hear it. You know what they sound like. You know what they smell like. You know what they breathe like. You know when the enemy is trying to set you up for the woo. You must be able to interpret the season. Daniel
tells Arioch, he says, wait a minute. Stop all that. What's going on?
The king had a dream. Nobody can interpret it. He told me to kill all the wise men. Daniel says, wait a minute. He says, watch this, everybody. Give me time.
Why am I taking my time? Because we so impatient.
Ooh, we so impatient. If God don't let me know something by tomorrow, I don't know what. If God don't do it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I need to let you something. I need to let you know something. God is in eternity. God doesn't need tomorrow to do tomorrow's business. Can I let you know something? God doesn't go by Webster's dictionary, meaning tomorrow don't even mean tomorrow in God. Tomorrow means tomorrow in you. But in God, when God speaks into the atmosphere, it's already happening. Okay, let me mess somebody up real quick. God has already breathed your destiny into the earth. You just have yet to walk it out. Oh, my God. Is anybody excited about that? Your healing is actually right there. You just ain't caught up to it. Oh, okay, I'm gonna run myself. You already ahead of where. All you gotta do is walk this thing. But what the devil tries to do is he throws all these obstacles in your way. Why? Because on the other side is your breakthrough. But you gotta learn to war. You're gonna have to push some stuff. Some stuff gonna wear your behind out. Some stuff is going to tear you up, but you got to learn to push through. That's why you got to be mighty in battle. That's why you got to be conditioned. That's why you got to be in shape. You can't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep scrapping. You can't lose that fight. You can't lose that battle. It's a war at hand, baby. It's some people that's on account of your life that are counting on you to win the battle. Listen, I need you. I need Bill. I need Bill fighting. Stand up, Bill. I need you fighting on my behalf. Mike, stand up. I need you fighting. Wes, stand up. Rick, Brian, I need you fighting, man. I need you fighting. Pop, stand up. Mario, stand up. I need you fighting. I need you fighting, man. I don't need you sleep. I need you fighting. There's some stuff ahead of me I can't even see. But I got some soldiers in front of me. That's why Daniel says, watch this. Daniel says, let me call my boys. Let me call my boys. Why? Because God has prepared us for a moment like this. What do you mean, Pastor? Stay standing. Because in Daniel 1, remember, Daniel wouldn't eat the delicacies. Daniel said, I ain't eating none of that stuff from the king's table. God has sustained me up to this season. I don't need nothing that nobody else can give me. I will be sustained by fruits and vegetables only. You mean to tell me you're going to turn down the king's delicacies? Ain't nobody ever did that. Yeah, he said, I serve another king. I don't need to eat the king's delicacy. Matter of fact, y'all know Daniel looked so good that they was all impressed. They said, shucks, we all need to go on the Daniel fast. We all need to be on that diet. But that diet wasn't about eating. That diet was about revelation from God. Oh, my God. It wasn't about eating. It was that Daniel said, I need to hear from God. And all this other stuff is going to get in the way from me hearing from God. So then when we get to the place where Daniel's life is at stake, along with his crew, he told Arioch, he said, man, give me some time. Give me some time. And then he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, listen, their names had not been changed yet. They were Hananiah, Mananiah. What's my other name? Hananiah. That's it. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah at this time. Their names had not been changed. And so they went, and so he went to Hananiah, Mishael, and Beyonce. I got a bunch of stuff in my head right now. No, I didn't say that. He said, Arioch, give us time. Y'all okay out there? Y'all okay? He said, give us time. So he called his boys. He said, listen. He said, listen. We got to hear from God. He wasn't panicking. He wasn't scared. They were conditioned. Watch this. Their lives were at stake. Your lives are at stake. But they were not afraid because they were conditioned for the circumstance. The three of them get together along with Daniel. The Bible says they go into the secret place. That's my interpretation. They went to a secret place. Because, see, when you need to really hear from God, let me tell about 75 of you. You need a place that you can go to where you won't be bothered. I don't care if that place is at home. I don't care if it's at work. I don't care if you got to go sit in the car. But every man and woman in here needs to have a place of solitude where they can get away from everything that's happening in life. They can get away from all of the chaos, and they can go and they can hear God. And the Bible says that when he told his three didn't panic either, Bill. They didn't panic. They had been in situations like this before. And so what happens is that they go into the secret place, and guess what happens, Rick? All of a sudden, God shows himself. Y'all can sit down. God interprets the dream. He interprets the dream to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They then tell Nebuchadnezzar, obviously their lives are spared. But can I tell you something? That was graduation to the furnace. Oh, my God, I'm about to lose my mind up here. Come on, Stephen. Come on, Stephen. I'm about to lose my mind up here. Some of y'all don't even understand that that was just graduation to the furnace, man. Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that they interpret the season? They interpret it. It's basically two world powers. But God had revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that two world powers were about to come down. And this that was the interpretation of the dream that Daniel gave to Arioch and gave to Nebuchadnezzar. But if you keep reading your Bible, then you understand that in the next chapter, the same king wants Daniel to bow down. And the wise men. Now the wise men are saying, wait a minute. Didn't we just interpret this dream before you and before all of your confidants? But because we won't bow down to you. So what do you say? What I'm saying is that your next victory actually prepares you for your next war. Why is that important? Because what happens, believe me, I've been there in my life, is that you go through seasons and you feel victorious. And you almost get mad that you got to get into another battle. Okay, I'll just talk to myself right now. Has anybody ever experienced that? Like, wait a minute, didn't I just win the last 65 battles and now I'm in number 68 or 66 or whatever? What in the world is happening? What happened is that it prepared you for the next battle. So your today battle is preparing you for tomorrow's war. Today's battle is preparing you for tomorrow's war. And so when I tell you, teach my hands to war, if you know like I do, and we just read the Bible together, we let the text talk, you clearly realize that Daniel didn't have to put his hands on nobody. The three Hebrew boys didn't have to put their hands on nobody. It was the power of prayer. We're all the prayer warriors, God. Where have all the prayer warriors gone? Where have all the folk gone that would pray until something happens? What has happened in our world today where we're too busy to pray? We're too busy to get on our face and say, God, I thank you for who you are. I'm not talking about a pray where you're always asking for stuff. That's making God Santa Claus. I'm talking about a prayer that says, God, I'm going to tell you right now, it seems like everything in my life is falling apart. My husband's doing this. My kids are doing this. My job is even acting up. But yet you are still God on high. I still love you. I still believe in your power. I still believe in your authority. I still trust you with my life. I still trust you with everything in me. If all hell is breaking loose, and it is, God, I still trust you because you are still God. It's like we want everything to be closer. We want everything to be warm and fuzzy before we get into the face of God. Listen, some of you got to go to God ugly. You got to go to God ugly. You got to go to God a mess. You in war, baby. War ain't pretty. War is not pretty. Never served in the military or anything like that. Have friends that have. There's casualties in war. The fact of the matter is that there's some stuff that you lose in war. But I've said this. I heard Bishop Jake say it many years ago. Because I've lost stuff. And I've heard Bishop Jake say, God will never allow you to lose anything that you needed in your next season. If you needed it, you wouldn't have lost it. You don't need it for this next season. So what has happened is that you graduate to your next test. And that's what the test, it's actually called a test called next. A test, yeah, it's called next. It's your next season. Many of you are in that season right now because you're in another test. Matter of fact, everybody in here is in some type of test. Everybody. Any adult in here, there's some type of test that you're in right now in your life. You're just trying to figure it out. You're trying to interpret it. You cannot go until the next season until you interpret this season. And you cannot interpret this season without getting before God. And if you get before God, God will give you divine revelation. Divine. I'm hearing something. I'm hearing something. Shift the go prophetic. Just hearing something. Just prepare your hearts. Just hearing something. What's your name? Yes. Anisha. This is your friend, Makisha. This is your friend. This is your cousin. Won't you go? For the Lord says that I have brought you into a new season in your life. Because much of the old season literally almost crushed you. For the Lord says, from the time that you walked into this new season, there was literally like a formatted body of sorts that fell off of you. From the time that you sat down, the Lord says, I began to work on behalf of your life. Oh, there it is right now. For the Lord says you're suffering from a crushed and a broken heart. But I am the Lord who healeth thee. In each moment that you have walked in this church has been like a healing of sorts. For the Lord says that you have found what is a river for your life. For you have been in a season where you were in a reservoir, where the water didn't renew itself. You kept drinking from an old fountain. And it was though as that fountain then became tainted. But the Lord says, I brought you into a river, says the Lord. And the Lord says, every time you drink, you become refreshed. Every time you drink, you get stronger. Every time you drink, you get fresher. Every time you drink, you are renewing things. For the Lord says, there have been words spoken over your life that in days past you would rebuke by the name of Jesus. But then you hit a season in your life where all of a sudden those words were sticking to you. And all of a sudden you went into a state and a point of depression. But the Lord says, I am breaking something over your life right now in the spirit and in the natural. For the Lord says, you will walk in a stronger manner, daughter. You will walk in the... Oh, there it is, 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 there it is. Oh, there it is. I break the spirit. Oh, I break the spirit of religious abuse over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. You're going to speak stronger. You're going to walk stronger. You're going to look stronger. New fruits on your life. New fruits, new fruits, new fruits. God said, you like Lazarus. You like Lazarus. You like Lazarus. You done came out the cave. Begin, turn around, Makisha. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Yep, yep. Unloose her. Unloose her and let her go right now in the name of Jesus. Unloose her, unloose her, unloose her. Take off the grave clothes, daughter, and begin to dance. Whoop, there it is right there. You a dancer. You got dancing all over you. You a dancer. Begin to dance again right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to dance. Begin to sing. She can sing. She can sing. She can dance. She can sing. It is time to dance and to sing again. It's time to strip the grave clothes off right now. It's time to go back to war. Put war. Put back in your hands. The war back in your hands. The war back in your hands. Back in your hands. Back in your hands. Back in your hands. Put your hand on the wall. Put your hand on the wall. There it is right there. I speak the spirit, a refreshing spirit to your womb right now in the name of Jesus. Where's Lazarus? Where's Lazarus in the building? I need every man and woman at this altar right now that feel like they wrapped up in something. They wrapped up. Come to this altar right now. Come to this altar right now. You feel like you wrapped up. You feel like you wrapped up. The devil's got you wrapped up in something you can't get out of. You in a place of depression. You can't get out of it. You in a place of warfare. You can't get out of this thing. Come to this altar right now. Come on, run to this altar right now. You feel like you just wrapped up in something. God's about to loose this thing right now in the name of Jesus. You're about to take a major step. Come on, come on, loose this thing. Loose this thing, man. Loose this, what you fighting with? You know better. You know better, man. You know better, Blair. You know better. You know better. You know better. You're fighting this thing. Stop fighting this thing. Let God, you will not have peace until you come back. For real, for real. You will not have peace, says the Lord. God has shaken everything in your life. You're not going to have peace. You can't rest well. You can't sleep well. I'm not giving you peace, says the Lord, until you come back. When you come back and you lay it all on the altar, that's when you will feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. You're asking for something that I got available for you, but I need you to surrender. I need you to submit. You're running. You're running. I never called you that. I never named you that. I never put that on you. I never put that in your well. I never said that about you. That is not yours. That's not yours. I never said that. Some of you at this, you got to get shown up angry and mad at the devil. I never said that. Some of you wrapped up in the things that you, I'm telling you right now, you got the power and the authority as you stand up here at this altar to unloose this thing off of your life, to break the bounds and the chains of depression, to break the bounds and the chains of mental attack and spiritual attacks over your life. Some of you women are fighting words, fighting words, fighting stuff off your life. Every man that has come up to this altar, every woman, just begin to turn around, begin to turn around. We're gonna loose these grave clothes off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to turn around. It's a spiritual move. It's a spiritual, keep turning. Just begin to turn around, Be loose in the name of Jesus. Be loose. Be loose in the name of Jesus. chains off of you in the name of Jesus. Break those chains, mighty men and amen. Break those chains off of you in the name of Jesus. Break those chains. Break those chains. Break those chains in the name of Jesus. 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 That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Wail. That's called wailing. Weeping and wailing. That's breakthrough. Weep and wail. There's breakthrough there. Jesus. Jesus. Yes. My God.
It's your family.
Jesus. What's your name? Honey, come on up here. What's your name? Kathy. Jesus.
One of the soldiers, says the Lord. You're one of God's soldiers. Get back on your post. It's time to warfare again. It's time to warfare. I speak healing over every diagnosis that the doctor has given you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing into your spirit. I speak health and well-being. I speak years upon your life right now that you be healed in the precious blood of Jesus. You are healed and you are set free. Every chain over your life is broken in the name of Jesus. And you will have the victory, says the Lord. You will lay hands and watch the sick recover, says the Lord. For your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you, says God. Give God some praise if you would. Come on, somebody give God some breakthrough praise. Give God some breakthrough praise in this place. Come on, find five people and tell them he's teaching my hands to war. Come on, find five people. Shake their hand and give them a high five. He's teaching my hands to war. Come on. Come on. Listen, you're at this place, you're at this altar, you're in this place, and you said, I need a reboot. I need a reboot with God. I need a fresh start. I need a recommitment. I need to lay it all down. I need to lay it down again. Whether you've never been saved or whether you're just saying, I'm a backslider and I need to repent of every sin that I've ever committed in my life. You're here this morning. I want you to just lift your hand. Today is your day. Thank you, daughter. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. If you're in the building, wherever you are, lift your hand. If you lifted your hand and you're saying, that's you, I want you to meet me right here. Meet me right here. Take that next bold step and meet me right here. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For those of you standing before me, repentance and recommitment, two of the greatest things that you could ever do in your life, and you do it as as unto Jesus, not as unto man. So what you're saying today is that I'm laying everything down before the Lord. Anything and everything that I've committed, every sin that I've committed, you're saying I want a fresh start. Basically what you're saying is that I no longer want to be king of my own heart. I want Jesus to be Lord of lords, King of kings. I want him to be majesty, and I want him to guide and govern everything in my life. That's what you're saying today by giving your life to Jesus. What this now means is that it don't make all your problems go away. What it does is it gives you a father, a heavenly father, who will help you in every area of your life, who wants to help you. Whom knew that this destined time would even be here today? Just lift your hands right where you are. Just repeat after me. Father God, here I am today, broken before you. Father, accept me into your kingdom. I repent of every sin that I have committed. And I thank you, Lord, that from this moment forward, you have thrown everything into the sea of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that I get a fresh start today. Thank you, Lord, that every bondage, every chain has been broken today. And I am free, free to worship, free to praise, free to give glory. As Romans 10 tells us, if a man would confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior, he or she shall be saved. So as you have spoken in your heart and you have repented before God, you are saved, you are set free, and you are whole in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. I need somebody to hug all of these folk up here. Somebody give them a hug. Give them a hug. Some of our home folk. Can y'all celebrate like somebody just got added to the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I'm being patient with reason, everybody. I'm gonna speak the blessing over you here in just a few seconds. But when God is moving and working what he's working, we just want to be patient. We want to be patient. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing up in this house today, Lord God. Thank you for breaking shackles, Lord God. Thank you for setting men and women free alike. Thank you, Lord God, for the revelation of your word. Something I did not give you that I just want to speak now is that you've got to have people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in your life. Some of you got to find some new friends because your friends don't know how to pray. And who you going to talk to when you need somebody to get in the Gideon on your behalf? But you need people like that who know how to pray and they know how to hear from God. That only benefits you. Honey, did you have anything? Bless the name of the Lord. Even as the announcement spoke, we are off of Bible study, I believe, July and August. Will be in July tomorrow. I'm going to start a new series next Sunday. Can't wait. Called We Are Victory. There was a reason why I preached what I did today. It was a setup for where we're going, at least for the next 4 weeks, beginning again next Sunday. And there's just so many exciting things, and I'm on the cusp of announcing and talking to you all about. It's going to be an explosive summer, a summer unlike any we've experienced, because there's going to be some things that I'm going to be sharing with you with regard to our church and all of that. And you all are going to be very, very, very excited. Amen, because God is working on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lift your hands all over the building as I speak the blessing into you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you going and we bless you coming. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your purpose. We bless this season. Somebody say, I'm at war, but this is still my best season. You got to stand on that thing, and you got to declare that no matter what's happening in your life, that it is still your best season. I bless you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. I bless you existentially. I tell you, each and every single week, done it for 11 straight years, God has only given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Along the way, we'll be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what?
Give it away.
Love on somebody before you leave here. God bless you. We love you so much. We'll meet many of you in the hallway.